This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What time is it? It's crowded time!
Excuse me. Couldn't get to the cough button there in time.
Didn't notice.
Did you just put on your Cubs World Series ring?
It feels good. And I know how much you hate the fact that I got a ring.
Yeah, the Hall of Famer, one of the greatest middle linebackers in Bears history, indeed, down here with Mike Singletary.
Did you see Die Hard?
Yes.
Yeah, I did too. That was awesome.
Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Samurai.
Not a Mark Grody.
Hey, Cordero, could I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
Man, I ain't talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So it's been kind of a devastating day for me with Bubba and then the bird. So
Bubby.
Bubby.
And when the Patriots took a 3-0 lead.
Les, the Bears were America's team. What are you talking about?
No, they weren't.
The
no, they weren't. Everybody.
Yeah, sure they were. Hit, yeah, they were.
Everybody. You weren't down there. I was.
Mark Grody.
Here I am. Unmuted. There it is.
Oh, hi, Mark.
On 670 The Score.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Saturday to you. And I am right now, I'm thinking about winning time. I'm not thinking about the old Los Angeles Lakers. I'm thinking about the Cubs and winning time. Like, we are past the first part of the season. We are on to post Memorial Day baseball and Cubs talk, which is not so much about the development anymore. It's about, oh, this is what you are, and let's see how far we can get you with what you are. I am going to be with you for the next hour and 45 minutes. I am Mark Grody. I guess I'm in for Steve Rosenblum. That's always a confusing situation since I'm usually on with Steve. I am reluctantly, at this point, I'm a proud co-founder of Saturday Suckage and the WB Club, and
dude,
I'm still in the
what
opening.
What is that about?
Well, you're right. I shouldn't have said that. That made me sound like I was too good for the Saturday show. You know what I mean? And I would never do that.
Well, you're still in the open, which I always think is very funny.
I think I'm honored by that. I think I like that. Or is that just the bedroom in the house that you've just left alone and nobody wants to try to renovate it anymore? It's there. The kids can go play in there. Steve and Mark can occasionally host during that time, but nobody's going to paint it. It is what it is at this point. That sometimes that's what I feel like old Saturday Suckage is. And yes, I am a part of that. And Sean, your name is stamped on it for sure. Sean Sears is our producer here this morning. So he is with us until 12:45 today. And that's good because he was actually just a part of something, probably partly responsible for booking Justin Turner on the show that preceded me. That was the Inside the Clubhouse with David Haw and Bruce Levine, and they had Justin Turner on. So I'm hoping that we can carve out some time eventually during this show
that we could play that maybe in the 12 o'clock hour, which will be very Cubs intensive. There's a lot of Cubs on this show today. But in that 12 o'clock hour, right at noon from Wrigley Field, from the Athletic, Sahadev Sharma will join us to talk about the Cubs and everything that is going on with the ball club, everything that is going on today. And there will be Bears talk as well at 11:20. That is from Herb Howard. And if you want to call me, Mark Grody, you want to talk about anything, 312-644-6767 is the number to go about doing that. I've been in Wrigleyville a couple times this week hosting shows with Rahimi and Harris, the show of which I'm a part 2 days a week, and I hit the bingo this week, and my 2 days were both remote days. Yesterday, we were out at Wrigleyville Dogs, and the day before that, or a couple days before that, we were at the Brick House Tavern indoors. Worked out well, because that was kind of a gloomy day after a really nice win for the Cubs over the Rockies. That was the night in which Layla and Marshall sang the seventh inning stretch, and the Cubs had their things their way down the stretch in what was turned out to be an 11 inning win for the Chicago Cubs. But there is, like, you know, I cover the Bears and I talk a lot of Bears, but I've covered the Cubs intimately in my life as well, doing pre and post between 15 and 17, and covered tons of Cubs games just throughout my career. So I know my whole life, and not just I've seen Wrigley Field and felt the vibes of Wrigley Field my entire life, and probably on a higher level than most people, just because of my experiences of going there as a fan and then being in that ballpark hundreds of times in my life, mostly as a professional. I can feel when the energy is different around the ballpark. I can feel when people are more intent about wanting to get to their seats on time, when there is a little bit more focus, maybe not as pre-gamed as you normally are, because you're like, the focus is actually on getting into the ballpark and watching the game, and then doing all the other things that you do at a Cubs game to enjoy a Cubs game, because I've never been afraid to say that it should be a part of that. But it has that feeling right now, and I feel like I'm hitting that or feeling that feeling at the right time, because it would be there are many moments during this season, this Cub season so far, where that felt like signature moments. I mean, we just replayed one of the games here on The Score recently, you know, like where it felt like you could just, the hyperbole was real, but I wasn't necessarily feeling it then, and I am now. I am now. And the good news is, and the Cubs did lose to the Reds yesterday, we'll talk a little bit about that game, you start to see, and it's not that the Cubs weren't trying to win right from the beginning of this season, but it's on in a lot of ways. It's on for Craig Counsell. And there is something that is symbolic of that, and that is what's going on with Ben Brown today. The plan for the Cubs, their starting pitcher today will not be a starting pitcher. He will be an opener pitcher. That is Drew Pomeranz, who has been really good for the Cubs this year. In any role in which he has been asked to succeed in, it seems that he has succeeded. And so I have no reason to think that Drew Pomeranz will fail at being the opener, but it does look like Ben Brown will eventually enter that game and get his regular start. At least that was a strong indication yesterday from Ben Brown and what Craig Counsell is now saying. So it does look like Ben Brown is going to get in. But you know what? Here's what I like about this. And I remember this when the Joe Maddon era, when it came time to win in time, as I said at the very beginning, you can't just let things go anymore. It's been two bad starts recently. I know, two bad starts. When you're in a season in which you are winning and are expected to win, and that's what the Cubs are now. At this point, it's an upset if the Cubs don't win that division, but you have to do things like Joe Maddon would do and be like, Jason Hamill, your first two innings were bad. I'm actually going to take you out of this game. Hard truths have to be told. And I'm not saying that this is a harsh truth for Ben Brown or anything that we should over-dramatize because he's not getting a start, but it is because he has struggled. And right now the Cubs are about winning, not developing, not trying things, although there are a lot of things being tried right now just because of the fact that the Cubs have two starting pitchers out. But Ben Brown in his last start against Cincinnati, 4 1/3, 8 runs on 7 hits. Not good enough anymore. That's not good enough really anytime. I get it. Cubs did win that game. That was, see, it's easy to forget about these moments too, because the Cubs came back in that game against Cincinnati. That was the Reese McGuire. I almost forgot his name. Reese McGuire hitting those 2 solo home runs and the Cubs coming back to win. The start previous to that for Ben Brown was a real disappointing one. 4 2/3, 6 runs on 7 hits. That again was another wild game, a back and forth affair between the Cubs and Marlins, which the Daniel Palencia game, if you will, where the Marlins win that game late against Palencia after Palencia had recorded the first 2 outs, and then all hell breaks loose after 2 outs, a Tommy Hotovy visit. Nothing could quell what was going to happen to David to Palencia on that day. But also in that game, the part that you can't look away from in that Ben Brown game, and this has happened to him similarly before, I don't know if to this degree, but this is the strange part. Ben Brown in that game, in that Marlins game, 4 2/3, allowed 6 runs on 7 hits. He also struck out 8 Marlins that day and walked 0. So it's like even a game within the game of, okay, this is not very good, but there's definitely something there.
That's a really good point, though, Mark, though, because in that game, like you're talking about, he figured it out for, like, what, like 2.5 innings, right? It felt like he was, like, on it, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. That's the way it went. The beginning was rough for him in that game. The middle was good, and then he fell apart again in the end. And without, you know, thinking too obviously, it screams reliever. Right. It screams reliever at this point that this is a guy who can come into a game and strike out the side easier than any pitcher on the Cubs staff. Like, he can come out and get that out. Now, obviously, he got to get him at the right time, apparently, and typically relievers are not coming in early in games, so I don't think he's going to be your long relief guy. So he tends to be better, you know, middle or towards the ends of games. So that said, I don't know if he's your closer or even necessarily your standard eighth inning guy, but he might be something in that bullpen, and you may be able to work him up into a closer spot as well. But that's just what I'm thinking right now. And look, they because of the situation with the starters, they obviously need this guy right now. Not enough to just throw him out there and let him start today, but they need him. So they're trying to, I feel like part of what they're trying to do today is to get him right to some degree in their own way. And really, there just aren't better options at this point than what the Cubs are, you know, feeling like they have to do on this day. You're not going to.
Craig Counsell actually talked a little bit about this yesterday in pregame. They were going to ask about, you know, the opener and what his plan was, but he was talking about kind of how what he's expecting or what he wants to see from Ben Brown to get better at here.
Look, there's number of ways to improve, and I don't think you always get to, you kind of work at all of them, but I don't think you get to pick which one. Sometimes you don't get to pick which one's going to be the one that the path you go on, right? So, yeah, I mean, I think the changeup is obviously a place that can get some outs and can keep hitters a little more less certain. I think, you know, execution can be a little sharper. I think, you know, I mean, the last game's a good example. The first inning, he gave away the first 10 pitches of the game, essentially. And there's two guys on base and. You know, you got a tough inning ahead of you. They do have some good at bats, and you're giving up 2 runs, or end up giving 4, but 2 probably that you didn't have to, at least 1 that you didn't have to. So there's a number of things that I think you know, every guy is trying to improve on, but those are some examples for Ben.
Good call there with that cut. Thank you to Sean Sears. That is Craig Counsell, the Cubs manager. I'm Mark Grody on the Score. And yeah, so that good pull, because it kind of backs up what I was saying or what I was thinking. And this is where they are. You know, you're at this point, I don't think, obviously, you know, Chris Flexen may have been a good option, but he pitched a couple innings the other night, so he's not stretched out. Javier Saad is still injured. Shota Imanaga maybe comes back in middle June. Justin Steele ain't walking through that door. And Jordan Wicks, just to go along with everything that has been going on with Wicks, apparently he's banged up now too, and he just wasn't ready. I mean, something is amiss. Something is off. Something has gone wrong, unfortunately, with Jordan Wicks, the pitcher. And now, just to accentuate that, apparently he's injured. So the Cubs are in this spot where, damn right, it's winning time, and they're going to make adjustments, and people aren't just going to stay in familiar roles if they're not playing well enough. But you do have to compensate for the lack of starting pitching that does exist for the Cubs. So we'll see how that goes today. I'll be very interested. I mean, if nothing else, it is fascinating. It will be fascinating, at least to me, to see how this works out for the Cubs today. Does Pomeranz continue to thrive anywhere Craig Counsell puts him? And is this the elixir to get one of those really good games out of Ben Brown, which he has not been bereft of? Like, he's had some good games. I still remember a game last year he had, I believe, at Milwaukee, maybe his signature game, where he got 7 shutout innings and struck out 10, I want to say, like in the middle of May or maybe the beginning of May, something like that, where he just looked dynamite. So I'm conflicted, and I think the Cubs are conflicted, and maybe even Ben Brown's a little bit conflicted about who he is or what he is capable of, but he continues to be an interesting guy. Another thing too, like back to the winning time theme here I've got going on for the Cubs. Yes, I have ascribed Lakers-ness to the Cubs. It is winning time. It's time to start to think about that part of it. So the Cubs, what really got me going on this, the Cubs right now, 35-22 after the 6-2 loss to the Reds yesterday. They are right now 3 games ahead of the Cardinals. The Brewers now 5.5 back. Cincinnati, the team that they are rematching with today, 6.5 games back. Pittsburgh, 14.5 games back. I know a lot of people are still scared of Milwaukee and not trusting that they will be bad or stay back. I don't have that fear factor of them. And maybe this is all about Willie Adames, because it always comes back to Willie Adames for me. I just don't have that fear factor of them, nor do I of the Cardinals, because I don't think they know who they are. And I think that they thought about at the beginning of this season that there could be a sell-off with this team. So I don't think it's going to be long before the Cubs have a really comfortable lead in this division. And again, winning time, then you really start to look forward and really start to think about how you want to use your rotation and rest guys and all of that. And I'm not talking about where you just throw a game away in the NBA because you know you're going to be in the playoffs. I'm just saying there are things that once you get that big lead in the division, think 2016, that you could start to think about things earlier than you were before. And that would help the Cubs, obviously, to get to a point where they can win playoff games and be a World Series contender, because that's the next step. I don't know if I'm there yet, but I've definitely gotten to the winning time aspect of it. I have so much more to say about the Cubs, but I am being told that I need to take a break because we're going to talk Bears next. The other things on the Cubs, by the way, I want to get into, there's some stuff from Jed Hoyer about the future of this team. This, when I say the future, I mean this year and what moves they'll make. And what happened to me in my prediction of the Cubs not getting to 90, what has happened to this team this year that I knew would need to happen if the Cubs were to get to 90-plus wins. So that's all coming up. But Bears is next, because I have asked that Herb Howard comes on from the Bigs to talk about the Bears. Why? Because I like Herb Howard, and Herb Howard covers the Bears very well. So coming up next on Saturday Suckage, ironically, we will talk to Herb Howard. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score.
Early in the process, we sat down and watched some tape from a year ago, and we talked it through. It's like, do we really want to, is this what we want to look like or not? And we come to an agreement, no, it's not. And okay, we learn from it, and we move on to the next thing. So, it's body language is a huge thing, demeanor. We don't want to be a palms up team where we're questioning every. No. That's a little bit of a sign of weakness, and we don't want to exhibit that from anybody on the team.
Oh, yeah, man. There's hard coaching going on in Lake Forest. That is Bears head coach Ben Johnson talking about his QB1, Caleb Williams, and the need to make his body language just a little bit better. I am Mark Grody here with you until 12:45, and that's Cubs time, man, winning time. This afternoon, the Cubs continue their homestand against the Reds. Pregame coverage begins at 12:45. With the first pitch at 1:20 on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. We'll talk a little bit more Cubs later on. We're definitely going to have time to hear from Justin Turner, who was on Inside the Clubhouse this morning with David Haw and Bruce Levine. Really good stuff from him. We'll get to that here in just a second. But yes, man, it is always time to talk about the Chicago Bears. And a good guy to do that with is my guy, Herb Howard of the Bigs. And guests, join us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. You can find this man on X at Herb Howard 411. He's got the information. What's going on, Herb? How are you?
I'm all good, Grody. How you feeling, man?
Oh, I'm feeling all right, man. It's a Saturday. It's about 60 degrees out. It's about the way I like it. So I'm pretty happy and feeling good and hearing all sorts of stuff. Unfortunately, I could not be at the OTA with all of you guys because I was hosting on The Score. But again,
man.
I cannot be stopped right now, Herb. I mean, it's just there are too many places to be, and I'm a pleaser, so I want to satisfy everybody. and the guy who continues to be in a good way, I think in a good way, dissatisfied, unsatisfied with the situation is Ben Johnson. And I think I'm starting to think too that he is enjoying or embraces the showy aspect of it, like he kind of enjoys us asking about it. Are you starting to get that feeling too a little bit with Ben Johnson, the way he's handled these practices?
Yeah, I think he's starting to enjoy the fact that, you know, the reality of who he is as a coach is setting in on the media. And so it must be setting in on his players too. right? This idea that he's going to come in, set a really, really high standard and keep it there. I think he's not going to be satisfied unless this team wins the Super Bowl. And I think that's a good thing, right? To keep the standard high, always keep pushing forward for better, for more, reaching and striving for perfection. Whether you're ever going to reach it or not, you got to keep striving for it. And I think that's what we're seeing from him early on. And I don't think he's really going to come off of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny. Like, I feel like he's just in collecting and hogging intelligence right now, which he's been able to do basically since he got here, because it's almost like with the yelling thing and the attention that we've given it, that I've done, and I'm sure you have as well. He's like, Ben Johnson must be like, oh, this is different to you guys. Oh, you like that, huh? So, like, there's a part of him who's like, I think he collects that. And he's like, okay, that's something that they haven't had before. Good, I'm going to do that. I think the players kind of like it. I know the media is digging what they're hearing. And there's been, you know, there's been other examples of that as well. Like, even with the whole Wickersham article that came out, like, to me, that was a win for Ben Johnson, because he got to be like, oh, you didn't learn this, you didn't learn that, my predecessors sucked, basically, is what you're saying. Like, that he can collect information, and in so doing, the honeymoon that he should be going through, because that's the way it works with coaches, he's on the honeymoon. This is like an all expenses paid honeymoon that he's having.
No, he's having a really, really good time. I mean, you go back to his introductory press conference when he talked about the players getting used to being uncomfortable, get comfortable being uncomfortable. I think he wants to continue to make them uncomfortable. And I think the more he hears his sentiments echoed from his players and in the media, the happier he is, because he knows that his message is getting through. He knows that people are starting to buy into what he is selling. But I honestly don't think he's selling anything, Grody. I think this is who Coach Johnson is. I think this is who he is going to be. And I think everybody, players, media, Chicago, had better get used to it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I don't want this to just be something that was an off-season program story, right, or training camp story. We know that there's so much stuff that we cover that ends up getting left behind in the rearview mirror, and hopefully this is the guy. Because as we talk so much about the quarterback, which we're going to do here now, there is, I mean, the Bears' record of head coaches is almost as bad, it feels like, the way they tend to end, is almost as bad as the quarterback. So it's definitely worth this conversation about Ben Johnson. But Herb, you were there the other day, and definitely feels like the, you know, like, while everybody's allowed to keep, you know, to table the information that Caleb Williams was giving and giving hopefully the closure on the Seth Wickersham article, it's always going to be there. It's always good, but it is off to the side now. Do you feel like that was accomplished, that story is off to the side while the intelligence is sort of locked away and everybody in the back of everybody's minds?
Yeah, I think it's off to the side. It'll come up again. Obviously, they kick off the season Monday Night Football against Minnesota, and you know, that was a team he said he would like to go to and work with Coach O'Connell up there, and that makes a lot of sense. But, and then it'll come out, you know, the book comes out maybe the day after or something like that. So it'll come back up then. But I think for the most part, you know, once they were able to address it, once he stood in front of the podium and answered the questions that were going to be answered, you know, the story, you know, shouldn't continue to linger much longer until, you know, the start of the regular season. And so I think it's something that most people can understand. You look at what you just said, talking about the history of the Bears quarterbacks here in Chicago, and if you're the top prospect coming out, why wouldn't you at least have some trepidation or some reservations about, you know, wanting to come here if you could try and find your way to somewhere else with a better history of developing quarterbacks? So I think you can understand that. You know, if you take the emotion out of it, you can understand where him and his father and their camp was coming from. And then, you know, once he met with Ryan Poles and the Bears, he said, listen, I think I can win there. It's okay. Let's go there and get to work. And since he's been here, I don't think he's done anything but go to work and try to become the best version of himself. And so, yeah, I think the story should go away. I think they probably waited a week too long to have him address it, and that kind of let it linger for longer than he even needed to. He's very, very good, Grody. We know that at standing in front of the podium and answering questions. He does a really, really good job of, you know, taking the questions head on, answering them with good detail, with a lot of confidence. So put him out there, let him answer the questions so we can all move on.
Yep. And I felt like even within that press conference, there was some moving on. And that was, you know, the Ben Johnson part of it, some of the expectations, again, that he has from Caleb Williams, and telling his quarterback, You know, and again, I don't want to make too big a deal out of this, but the body language thing is interesting just because typically you're not going to hear a head coach call a guy out specifically in that regard. Usually that's like, you know, something you show a guy, but that's a real challenge to I don't think it's going to be a challenge for him, but that was a challenge right in front of him, I thought.
Yeah, I think as long as you're consistent as a head coach, right, what you're saying to the guys in the meeting rooms or out in the practice field, if that's what you're saying in the media, it's fine. It's when you go flip-flopping back and forth that it becomes a bit of an issue. And so as long as he's consistent with his message, I don't think the guys can take issue with anything he says publicly, right? Some coaches like to say, you know, I don't want to, you know, throw guys under the bus publicly, but it's not throwing you under the bus. It's saying we are not going to be a team that shows that kind of mental or emotional weakness when something goes wrong. We are going to continue to, you know, hold our head high. We aren't going to point fingers, and we're going to work to get things better if we have an issue with them. And I think that's where that's what you want to see. That's leadership. And I think, you know, Caleb should appreciate that. And I think all the players who come to appreciate that, again, so long as he is consistent with what he's saying.
Oh, yeah. Yep. No doubt about it. And I agree with that 100%. How fast do you think Ben Johnson should be expected to get Caleb Williams good? In other words, is there a developmental year because of the I guess you could call them setbacks in coaching that Caleb had to endure last year?
Yeah, I think it depends on what metric you're trying to, you know, grade this by. I think if you're talking about watching the game and seeing consistent, steady improvement from Caleb, I think that's the more realistic thing. I think if you're talking about, well, how consistently is he throwing for 300 yards, 350, like, I think that's where it could get tricky. I think this game is about winning football games and playing winning football from the quarterback position. If Caleb can do that consistently, then clearly what's happening with Coach Johnson is working. And I think that's what I'll be looking for more than anything. Are they able to control the game offensively, or are they trying to keep up with the game offensively? Are they trying to come back late in games? We saw Caleb be pretty close to brilliant in a few games last year, late down the stretch. But I think they want to get into a position where they can kind of dictate the flow of the game. They can dictate when we run, when we pass, how we set up our two tight end packages, how we play off of that and get into our play action game. Those are the types of things I'm looking for. Stay ahead of the chains, eliminate the negative plays, get in and out of the huddle. Those are the types of things that I'll be looking for, getting the ball out of his hands. We know he can run around and make some special throws, but can he be on time, on target with some of the, you know, things that are built into the system? And I think that, as much as anything, is what I'll be looking for to kind of gauge if his work with Ben Johnson is actually elevating his game.
His backup this year, at least one of his backups, is going to be Case Keenum. What did you make of his presence at the podium and what he had to say? And is he the third string quarterback?
He's a vet, man. He was professional at the podium. I think it was an oversight for the Bears to not have a veteran presence in that quarterback room last year. A person like Case Keenum, I know that Tyson Bajan is really, really good and a capable backup, but he doesn't know anything more about becoming a quarterback in this league than Caleb Williams does, right? They're both at very, very early stages of their development. So bringing in a guy like Case Keenum is going to be a really good sounding board for Caleb, really good sounding board in that room. He's going to be a good person and kind of translate what the coach is saying to Caleb, not only during the practice field and in the classroom, but also on game day when he comes off the field to the sideline and say, hey, this is what I see, this is what's going on, this is what I hear coach saying to you, and this is how you can kind of interpret and apply some of those things on the next series. So I think he's a really, really good person to have in the room. I also think he's a more than capable backup. He's won some big games. He's been in some big situations. He's played in this league for a very long time. And so as much as I like Tyson Bajan, I know that Tyson Bajan is confident and very capable, but so is Case Keenum, right? And so if he's got to go in there and play, then I think he can be productive for you. We heard him talk about being a competitor his entire life, and no, the Bears didn't tell him he was going to be the backup quarterback or anything like that, but he's certainly going to compete for it. He acknowledged that Tyson is a good player as well, but listen, those guys got to be competitors, and he's certainly going to go out there and put his best foot forward to try and be the number two quarterback on this team.
No doubt about it. Hey, man, one of the things that I'm also really starting to get excited about this team is we all kind of have been focused so much on Caleb and the story is the defensive line rotation will eventually be. Mm-hmm. What it'll look like when they come out as starters for the first time, even because of all the interest with Grady Jarrett being there and Shamar Turner there and Dio Odangbo and all the different things that are going on. And I think the most interesting thing, I went back and listened, Herb, to Montez Sweat and what he was saying. And we know that there was the story of Jervon Dexter getting all the guys together in Miami. And like, it feels like there's always somebody in some position group that does that. And I always think that that's such a cool thing and an easy story for us. But one thing he was speaking like, as if even before that, you know, saying that, oh yeah, Jervon Dexter is a leader. He is a leader in that locker room for us. And I don't know, like I love hearing that. And the reason I love hearing that is because I had no idea. Like, I didn't know who the voice of that defensive line was. We know the voice that we hear the loudest, Montez Sweat, not necessarily in the locker room, but on the field. I don't know if that's a role that he embraces. You could have made the case for Big Bill, Andrew Billings along that defensive line. But, I mean, I never really thought about Jervon Dexter, but I guess why not? Have you sensed him as a leader in that locker room? Because I guess I just didn't.
Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't really feel that way in terms of, you know, his position on that defensive line and in terms of being a leader. But I think that you just kind of look at his actions and what he's done and bringing those guys, you know, organizing the workout for those guys down in Miami. But not only organizing them, but those guys respecting him enough to come down there, right? Montez Sweat comes, Grady Jarrett comes, then you get Austin Booker down there as well. And so guys are clearly, you know, following his lead. And I think that's a really, really good thing. They need him to take that next step forward. We've seen what Philadelphia has done with their defensive line, how they come in with waves and waves of guys, 7, 8, 9 guys. And now the Bears are trying to put together a defensive line that can do the same thing, where guys are constantly coming in fresh. And maybe they start off with Big Bill and Grady Jarrett as the first two defensive tackles. Then you come right back and you got Jervon Dexter and Shamar Turner and the rest of those guys. And I think that's going to keep them all fresh. That's going to keep them all competing with each other in that friendly competition. And that's going to bode well for that defensive line and ultimately the defense as a whole. And so I kind of like where they are right now. They still got some questions to answer on that other defensive end spot opposite Montez Sweat. It was good to hear Montez say, listen, I'm going to keep in the back of my mind the fact that I didn't have the year I wanted to have last year. We all know he was banged up. He continued to show up, but the production that he had in that first year simply wasn't there, and the Bears need him to play at that level if they're going to reach where they ultimately want to go. And so you got to look for a bounce-back year from him, but you got to figure out what's happening on the other side. I know they, you know, paid Odangbo, and they're hoping that he can turn a lot of those pressures and hurries into actual sacks, and hopefully he can. And then you got to get some more development from Austin Booker, and we'll see, you know, if they – end up acquiring somebody later on in the process. But mostly, for the most part, what they have is probably what they'll end up going with. And I think, you know, trying to get the development and having those guys take the next step, not only, you know, as players, but also as leaders in the classroom, on the practice field, in the weight room, is going to pay dividends for them.
Herb, you're the absolute best. Thanks for jumping on with me on a Saturday. I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your Saturday day planned and your evening as well.
Always good to talk ball with you, Brody. I appreciate it, man.
All right, man. I'll be seeing you soon or be hearing you soon. Love hearing you on the Midday Show, of which I'm occasionally a part. So I got mine today, Herb. Have a great day, man.
All right, man. You too.
That was Herb Howard. Yeah, it is really nice. Look, I mean, Montez Sweat, last year, he started 16 games. It feels like every week we were talking to Montez Sweat about, are you injured? Are you hurt? And, you know, the old, I'm not going to use that excuse, but he was banged up in training camp. And I don't know if he ever ended up getting his footing, but he played in 16 games. It felt like it was painful sometimes watching him last year with his 5.5 sacks, but always something to keep in mind about Montez Sweat is, look, there's only been 1 year in his career, and he's been around since 2019, that he has had a double-digit sack season, and that was with the Bears 2 years ago, and with two teams, with Washington and the Bears, 12.5 sacks. That was the only year that he was in double digits. So it's, you know, guys make the jump, guys develop, and I think that's where we think. We expect Montez Sweat to be at this point in his career, a guy who is ascending still into a double-digit guy. So 5.5 sacks was unacceptable from him. And the you know his 2020 year in Washington, 9 sacks. And just going through it, 2019, 7. In 2020, 9 sacks. 2021, 5. 2022, 8. Talked about 23, 12.5 sacks. To go along with that. And then last year, the 5.5 sacks. So it's just something to keep in mind. Like when we all assume that the Bears are going to get more sacks this year, which they have to get more sacks this year. It does a healthy Montez Sweat actually equal double-digit sacks? When we return, I was just thinking about this while we're talking to Herb, so I'm going to need to hear it. There was one question and answer to Caleb Williams, which made me laugh because it made Caleb Williams laugh. And I just felt like we were two little kids laughing about something that happened during a very, very serious press conference. I understand. But I want to play that for you guys. And maybe I'll have some time to get back to some Cubs notes that I wanted to get to. Definitely going to talk Cubs at the top of the hour with Sahada Sharma, who is out at Wrigley Field and doing what he does, writing well about the Cubs for The Athletic. So Cubs and Bears coming up here on The Score. I'm Mark.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere, with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Brody.
His dad can do all the research he wants and have his best interests in mind, but it's Caleb's decision. And everybody knew that. And everyone respected that for that matter. And so I think that when he's saying that, I think that my gut would tell me that, you know, he's reiterating, letting people know that, like, you know, he loves his father and his father has his best interest at heart, but he's his own man. And he was the one, you know, as I reported and as he said yesterday, who decided, you know, that he wanted to try to be part of the process of turning things around in Chicago.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score.
Well, that just puts me right back where I was at the beginning of this whole Caleb Williams saga featuring that guy, Seth Wickersham, in his upcoming book and the excerpts which he released in the place I was from day one when I was on the air the day that that news broke doing the evening show. We celebrated because Caleb Williams chose the Bears. We found out just how close the city of Chicago came to being one of those special selected cities that gets dissed and walked and trampled over because it wasn't good enough for a professional athlete. Whoa, we came so close, so close. So it is to be celebrated first and foremost, but it also needed to be inspected. It also needs to be collected and put in the save file just so in case you need to bring it back up for anything that might inform us in the future. But hopefully that is the way that it will mostly be used if we need it to inform us. If there is more, when I say that, I'll be specific. If there is more interaction with Carl Williams as it pertains to Caleb Williams' future, and I mean in a public way, in a real way, they are father and son, they are best friends, so there's always, like, this isn't going to stop. Mr. Williams, Carl Williams, is always going to advise and, in his mind, have what is in best in mind for his son. But going forward, will Caleb Williams continue to impose his will and be his own man and actually use his own gut when it comes down to, after having been advised and making a decision, and in this case, what I like to think of as the right decision, to stay with the Chicago Bears? And at the end of the day, if you believe in Caleb Williams and you think he's going to be great, that's all that matters. The guy is still here. But in 3 years, when hopefully Caleb Williams wants all the money, that there isn't funny stuff that goes on, that Caleb Williams tries to circumvent, or his dad tries to circumvent, or do something unprecedented in the league, because there was all of that as part of the excerpt as well. So that's all that is left in terms of, for me, in terms of this story. And it's great. It's all out there. And I think that all parties at this point should be satisfied. There was a point during which the press conference that I actually laughed, because Caleb Williams was laughing too. And this was on the notion that and this laugh has been interpreted different ways. I took it as just a genuine laugh and something that Caleb Williams, a 23-year-old, thought was hilarious. And I was right there with him when addressing the controversy about how much tape he watched last year and that he wasn't able to watch tape because he didn't know how to watch tape. And we all took that and ran with it. Here's Caleb Williams on that.
That was a funny one that came out. It wasn't that I didn't know how to watch film. It was more or less the sense of learning shortcuts in the sense of, or not learning shortcuts, but learning ways to watch film and be more efficient, learning ways to, you know, pick up things better. And so that was a funny one that came out, in context and how I was trying to, you know, portray it, didn't get portrayed that way. So it wasn't that I didn't know how to watch film. It was trying to figure out the best ways and more efficient ways so I can watch more film, I can gather more information, so that when I do go out there on game day, that it's, you know, I'm that information that I gathered through Monday, when we got back, you know, all the way up to, you know, whatever day the game day is. So when I get out there, I can gather it, you know, I see it, I can react. And it's not me sitting there thinking so much about, you know, the rules and these different things. It's more of a reaction game at that point in muscle memory.
I'm starting to wonder, and that's Caleb Williams, like, as that audio was playing, is this why he finally spoke? Like, he just couldn't have that out there, because, like, I'm taking him, like, some people think that he was embarrassed and that's why he was laughing, and like that maybe he didn't know how to watch tape. I took it I believe every word he just said, in other words. And I don't always believe every word every athlete says. But I just wonder if that was felt so egregious, and there's so many NFL experts who have had measured opinions. They're not anti-Caleb, maybe some of them are, but measured opinions on, at some point in time, that's on you, kid. Like, if you don't know how to watch tape, you had to say, you got to say something. Open your mouth. You see something, say something. You know, so that was the, if I put together as one all of the opinions from those who played the game, especially quarterbacks, that was kind of it. So I do wonder if it was Caleb who finally said, look, I know that we were thinking about waiting until June on this. And, you know, I was down with that idea. But there's this notion out there that I don't know how to watch tape. So at least that's what it is in my head. That's the way I heard it. And I think that that's maybe the way it went down.
Awesome. Thank you, Bears.
I'm glad you played that because he hadn't been doing that. Like Caleb, and I was thinking, oh man, is this the point? Is this the shift? Like there are shifts that occur with athletes in Chicago, even great athletes in Chicago's, where they go from being one way, like very approachable and very affable. And these are things that words that I would use to describe Caleb Williams. And then something happens and like something that happens in the media. And then all of a sudden the collective relationship changes with the player because they've lost trust for the media. You know, maybe he hears some things that I thought maybe this whole thing, like with all of us talking, is this going to turn him off a little bit? And not only did it not seem to turn him off, maybe it did, but he also did the Bears at the end, which he hadn't been doing. So there, I did feel a sense of comfort because they think about like back in the Brian Urlacher days, and Urlacher came in here and everybody loved Urlacher, one of the great Bears of all time. And then all of a sudden there started being things in the Sun Times, I think it was, about his personal life. And Urlacher started having terrible press conferences and like answering stuff in three words and become just very unlikable, really. I mean, in terms of through the media guy, and you know, he knows it, and I'm sure he's talked about it now and probably didn't feel good about having to do that because but that happened. I remember covering Mark Pryor. You know, I mean, Mark Pryor comes in as a phenom, and guess what? Dirty little secret. Mark Pryor did not care for all the attention that we were giving him. You know, that's fine. Like, this is no shot at Mark Pryor. Trust me. He wasn't into it. He was not like, did have kind of a too cool for school thing going on, but especially when the injuries came up and stuff. And I get that. That's really annoying. But he really started to get annoyed by us, and he became a difficult subject and all of that. So things happen, things change, and we did not want to see that with Caleb Williams. All right, let us take a break. This will give us a chance to reset, and I'll be thinking about the Cubs during this break because when we come back, we are going to go to Wrigley Field where Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic is lurking, and we could talk about this Cubs-Reds rematch today and the unique thing that the Cubs are doing with their starting pitching staff today. We will cover that next with Sahadev Sharma. I'm Mark Grody with you until 12:45 on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.